Clodagh, picture this. I'm in Tokyo for a business meeting. One of my favorite places to do business. I've just successfully negotiated a pretty substantial deal, and I walk out into the Tokyo High Street, and all of a sudden, I see Burnsy there, just with a pill in his hand. I go, "Burnsy, konnichiwa." And he goes, "Archie, good to see you, mate." I can't really understand with his West Country accent. But I say, "Burnsy, where's a good watering hole? Because, you know, it's all about more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash. More lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash." And me and Burnsy tuck into a few jars as we do. We just have some seriously good banter. And he says, "Listen, mate, you've got to come and play out here." I say, "Actually, mate, I probably could, because I could do some pretty good business and play some pretty good high-standard rugby and make some serious coin. But Burnsy, are you going to be happy playing 12 and me 10? He said, "Yeah, but as long as we can go out every weekend and have some more. More lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash. More lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash." Anyway, Burnsy takes me back to see the boys. None of them really speak any English, but luckily I've got some pretty good funny videos on my phone, and they all absolutely love it, and I pretend to hit my head in the wall, and they're like, "This guy's got some great physical banter." And I just say, "Boys, listen, you might not understand what I'm going to say, but I want you to get up and listen to me, because it's all about more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash. More lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash." And at the end of it, they all sort of bow to me like a scene in Last of the Samurai. I feel very much like Tom Cruise. And I say, "Guys, konnichiwa. Let's just go and have some beers and have some bloody good banter."
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 9 of the Rig Biz podcast. My name is Freddie Claude, and as always, oh, wait a second, I hear the jingle bells of someone who must be Mr. Archie Gerson.
Yeah,
how are you doing?
It's old Santa Claus here. How are you doing, mate?
Jesus Christ. I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Do you enjoy some of that Christmas banter I got for you?
Well, it's not your best, but it's pretty good.
It's a little bit of a present for you. A little stocking filler.
Yeah, well, at least you're, you know, sort of on theme for once. How was your weekend? You're looking pretty worse for wear, sir.
Mate, I'm good. I'm good. The rig's taken a bit of a beating. It is silly season. And last week did really kick off. I was out most nights. I was out most of the days with clients, just entertaining them. When I'm with clients, I do sort of hear that Robbie Williams song, "Let Me Entertain You," sort of playing my head.
Right, okay.
That's really what they're letting me do.
Do you ever break out into full song in front of them or not?
No. I've got a few banterous stories up my sleeve, which I always share. One that I tell every client is the story about how I got a drop goal against the Putney Pirates a couple of years ago, and they absolutely loved
it. Doesn't sound like a very good story, though.
No, it is. It is. When I'm in full business mode, you have to be there. You have to be there.
We had a brilliant weekend of rugby. Did you enjoy that? Where were you?
Oh, mate.
You were sending me some very weird WhatsApp videos on Saturday night, mate.
Mate, so. I was at the ship on Saturday, and my God, that place is bloody magical. It is the new Winter Wonderland this year. There were cheekers as far as the eye could see. Banter was flowing, and a few people sort of recognised me, and I think they were just happy to see me there. The CEO of Clapham commencing some serious lash there.
And then your thoughts on the rugby on Sunday? Crazy game. I mean, we should have beaten them, you know, tenfold over, because they were a weak third to the string team of the French. But it went to extra time.
It'd be great to have a chat with Faz, because I think that's something that I could definitely bring to the 10 role in the England team. Like, I obviously operate under severe pressure, you know, in the city, and kicking is actually joy for me, because it's light work compared to some of the deals I have to get over the line in the city.
Do you think he's been, I mean, I don't want to say we have an impact on everyone, because we have got some people in the England squad and everything like that, but do you think that he was impacted by a couple of things we've been saying on the pod recently about how boring he is, or?
I don't know. I'd love to have a meeting with the guy, because I definitely think I could help with his media presence. I think, you know, there's a lot of stuff he could do to really push his profile out there. You know, I'd love to see him with a different lid. I'd love to see him with a different accent. You know, accent really holds him back.
I
can't imagine him giving a team speech.
No, me neither. I can't imagine him being sort of a great leader. Well, maybe we should try and organise that. You tried to make him your apprentice last year, and that never came about. But maybe, you know, when it gets to January and it quiets down a bit, you can...
It'd be great just to sort of have a session with him and Fordy, and sort of just take them through some of the the drills I do that are probably not that conventional, but I think would help their game.
Can you give us an example of some of those?
No, mate, I keep those under my sleeve, but sports is about getting that extra 1%. I definitely think I could add maybe 1% or 2% to their game.
Right, okay, and that can make all the difference.
It's communication at the end of the day, and yep. What I would do is probably take them through a business meeting scenario, because that would improve their banter. And if you have the banter on the pitch, people will revere you and respect you. And that's what, I've got at the Clapham Falcons. If I say, give me the ball, they're not going to pop it to a forward. They're going to give it to me.
It sounds like
I know when the time is right.
Well, it probably sounds like they need to get hold of your chat app and also maybe even get on a AAA, BBB, CCC lifestyle course.
Yeah, I mean, I do, one-on-one sessions with the AAA, BBB, CCC course. And that's something maybe I'll email England Rugby and see if we can get that going. I definitely think a few of the guys there could really benefit from it.
And also, I must say that the big news, the thing we're really concentrating all our muster and power on at the moment, is that Christmas number one. It's Christmas time. It's time to lash.
Mate,
how's it going?
That's a hell of a business deal we're trying to get over the line. But
it's a big
one.
We
are getting there. And I tell you what, people are getting behind it. And I think we're going to do it, Freddie. I think we're going to surprise a lot of people. People are writing us off, but we are the voice of rugby, and rugby are going to get behind us. And we will have the Twickenham faithful right behind us the whole way, and we will climb that chart straight to number one. Freddie, it's almost like when I did the Duke of Edinburgh and I had to climb Mount Snowdon. All I was armed with was a packed lunch, a pot noodle and a compass, and I managed to do it. And a lot of people wrote me off. The group left me. The group just weren't enjoying my banter.
Right.
But I was like, guys, let's go this way. And they're like, that's ridiculous. That's hard. And I said, that's what will make us.
It was probably the wrong way, wasn't it?
It turned out it was the wrong way, and I was 2 hours behind everybody.
Right,
but
okay.
What I'm saying to you, I got to the top.
Yeah.
And, people are writing us off, Freddie, and we will get there.
So
I will take us there. I will lead this team. I will lead the rugby community to number one.
So, Ed Jackson's not really the hero here. You are. You're the mountaineering expert.
Freddie,
you faced adversity and you've
Freddie,
come over.
We're all heroes. But all I'm saying is every time I face adversity, I have conquered it. There's been times in Infernos where it's got to, 1:30 and I haven't, got any sniff of any chica. But
I can't believe that.
People wrote me off, but I still turn it around and take people back and watch Netflix with a lot of girls.
So Archie, of course we are joined by the legendary Mr. Freddie Burns on the podcast
Burnsy,
today.
Oh, Burnsy, yeah, he's got
straight from Japan,
winning his third cap today. So big moment for old Burnsy, and he's a great player. He's always performed well on the pod, and he's a consistent guy, and that's what you need in episode 9 of season 3. You need someone who's going to deliver the banter.
Yeah, he's brutally honest. He loves the banter. He gives everything away.
He's just a top boy.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to give us a lot of insights into what it's like in
Disappointing
Japan.
Disappointing that Stuart Hooper treated him the way he did.
Yeah, I know. That was gutting.
I was going to say something rude about Stuart Hooper, but you never know. Bath could come knocking. They might need me to come fill a spot. You never know, Freddie. You never know.
Well, Archie, Christmas is here. Silly season is amongst us.
Yeah.
And there's only a couple of weeks until you'll be opening your stocking, hopefully. Well, actually, what's going to happen there? Because
I'll be at my dad's.
Do you get a stocking there?
Yeah, well, what are we talking about here?
Well, we're talking about Manscaped, because
they're back again.
They're back again.
Of course they are.
But they are looking to fill
love giving us money.
Well, mate,
they love giving us money.
They're looking to fill.
What do they want now? What do they want? We've said everything we can.
They're looking to fill our thousands of listeners' stockings with incredible stocking stuff. It's the best.
I don't get it, Freddie. Has not everyone bought this already?
Well, I don't think they have, because we've got, hundreds of thousands of listeners, sir. And I think, sometimes people are always tuning in.
Okay.
But what we can give them are some of the best products in the world. And a few of their products that are prime stocking stuffers this season are the Crop Preserver, the Ball Deodorant. Well, obviously the name speaks for itself. The Crop Reviver.
That is actually a really good stocking filler. A bit of Ball Deodorant.
I
love that. I think if I do spend Christmas alone by myself, that's what I'd give myself, because I'd actually...
Would you do
that.
Your own...
I would do my own stocking, and I would actually chuckle that I put that in for myself.
Okay, all right, okay.
That's so actually quite good. That's actually quite good banter.
Okay, so you can get the Crop Preserver in the stocking. You can get the Crop Reviver Ball Turner.
I don't know to do that to myself anyway, regardless of where I am for Christmas. That would just be so funny to play that prank on myself.
Well, you bought your dad a Manscaped kit, haven't you?
Yeah.
Hopefully you can give that to him in purpose.
Yeah, he'll love that. I can't wait. Fingers crossed, I see him.
You can also get the Crop Reviver Ball Turner, a spray on toner that will give your balls a little slice of heaven with the aloe vera and hazel extract.
Yeah.
Of course, the Crop Cleanser, which is a new body wash, a full body wash that you can also use on your hair. It's a body wash cum shampoo. You just smell beautiful. You're completely clean, completely sheened, and you're smelling wonderful. Just a shame you'll be by yourself.
Just should say from last week, a few people did write in, and I should have said, look, I just want to say, is please do not put clover on your balls. We legally have to say that. Please don't do that.
Well, if you do accidentally put clover on your balls, Arch, they've got a new product as well called the Crop Mop Ball Wipes. So what these do, you know, you never know when an opportunity strikes, when you need to have a little whistle, a little cleanse, and you should always be prepared.
They'd be handy between business meetings.
Yeah, they really would. So yeah, if you have a stressful one. So you'd have the preserver, the reviver, the cleanser, the Crop Mop Ball Wipes, and then another new product, the foot duster. So it's foot deodorant. So if you're smelling great your balls, you're smelling great upstairs, you cleansed your body, why not make your feet smell beautiful with a foot duster designed to keep the stinkiest feet smelling fresh?
Yeah, that's more for prop forwards, I think, because they normally have very small, sweaty little goat hooves that, you know, smell. That my experience, anyway, that front rows have very sort of smelly, horrible feet. So, yeah, if you're a prop forward, definitely get on that.
Guys, let's also not forget about the best trimmer for your butt, balls, and body, which is the Lawnmower 3.0, which is the only razor in the world which you can use on your face, your balls, your bum, everything, which is guaranteed not to cut you. So,
but Fred, we sell this every week.
Well, mate, I've just given them five new products for their for their stockings.
Okay. Well, guys,
and you may be by yourself this year, mate. So this is inspiration.
I'm just saying, guys, can you go and do it, please?
Well, we're also giving you 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with the code RIGBIZ20.
Oh yeah, yeah, guys, do use that though. You know, because if you don't, then they will finish this advertising thing with us and we won't have any money.
Please
do. Well, no, Freddie won't have any money. I've got loads of money.
Well, whether this is for your partner, dad, brother, friend, foe, enemy, whatever, a boy in Putney or, you know, your best mate in Clapham, getting something that they'll actually remember and use this Christmas. So go to the Manscaped website, uk.manscaped.com, and put in the code RIGBIZ20 for free delivery and 20% off everything.
Hashtag RIGBIZ20.
You're welcome.
Konbanwa. That's good evening.
And there you go. That is, that's West Country for hello.
Yeah, it's literally as far as it goes, mate.
Freddie, welcome back on the RIGBIZ pod, sir. I believe you're now our most capped guest, so we'll have to get a thimble sent out to you in Kabia, in Japan, in time for the end of year awards. The last time we spoke, you were waiting for the ambassador to give you a visa to allow you to go to Japan. Do you think it's any fluke that the day after the podcast came out, you got your visa? Luckily, the Japanese ambassador owed Archie a favour, so, you know, I suppose you're welcome in that regard.
It's absolutely no coincidence, boys. You're men in high places now. You pull the strings, and you got me out here, so I'm forever indebted to you boys on the RIGBIZ.
A guy I work with, his dad's best friend went to boarding school with the ambassador for Japan, and so, yeah, just put in a little favour.
Thanks, mate. Always appreciate it, Archie. You know that, mate. Any strings you can pull always help.
Burnsy, you know, once you come on the podcast, you're under my wing. There's not anything I wouldn't do for you.
What a wing to
when you want to come back, just let me know where you want to play, which club, whereabouts. I'll sort it out.
Before we find out about everything that's been going on since we last spoke and get the insight into Japan through the eyes of a thirsty 30-year-old from the West Country, have you been staying up to date with the podcast and have you been able to get any of the Shocky Shuttle boys to give us a listen?
To be honest with you, mate, I don't think many of the Shuttle boys would understand it with their Japanese unless you start bringing out a Japanese podcast. But a couple of the foreign boys are in. I know Tom Murday, a second row from Australia, New Zealand. God knows where he's from, mate. He's a bit of everywhere. But he was playing in Argentina last year and he's a big fan. So he listens in. So we'll give him a little shout out, eh?
Yeah, I'll reach as far and wide.
You've been out there for a couple of months now, but last time we spoke, you weren't confident where in Japan you'd actually be living. And I know that you had to do 2 weeks quarantine upon arrival. So take us through the highs and lows of that period of being by yourself over 9,500 kilometres away from home in a country where you don't speak the language fully. What did you do to sort of stay entertained during that horrible period?
Bumble, Tinder, Raya, all the above. No, I'm joking. to be fair, mate, good box sets. It's one of those. I was waiting so long to get out here that I kind of knew anyway that, to be out, I'd rather be out here waiting for 2 weeks than stuck at home not knowing when I could get out here. So time went by all right. It's different. Like, there's no Deliveroo, Uber Eats or anything like that, mate. So sort of getting my food sorted. There's a supermarket downstairs, so I was able to pop down and get a little bit of food and stuff. But yeah, mate, it wasn't great, but I'm a lot more fortunate than most to be in the situation I am. So didn't complain too much. Sat on the balcony, enjoyed the weather, and tried to just bide my time and be a little bit patient.
D- Did you, so you didn't do any BD, you know, business development on the old dating apps out there, line up some cheekers for, you know, when you were unleashed into the world?
Mate, I'll be honest with you, right? So I got out there and I thought, I just spent a couple of days in that. And then I thought, you know what? I'll dabble on Bumble. Just, you know, make friends, see whatever, see what's sort of going on, what to do and not do around here, stuff like that. And no word of a lie, every picture is a ramen. They just they just put pictures of food, mate. It's like gyozas and ramens and that.
Are you sure you're on the right app?
No, I promise you, mate. I promise you. So I just deleted it. And there's no point. They're either it's pictures of cats or ramen, mate. And that's how you got to decide how you're going
to
date. So.
To be fair, Burnsy, on my Hinge profile, I have one of me on a boat in Croatia, just with some swim shorts. Then me skiing. Then me one without with the rugby boys. And then the other two photos are just my staple sort of diet. One is my chicken, broccoli and egg whites. And then the other one is just a Nando's, just to show the fun side of me.
Get your meal prep in, make sure the rig's in good shape. And
yeah.
Then, you know, when you want to have those little treat meals, you get to Nando's, eh? What a place.
I guess I want the girls to know, yes, I'm in shape. Yes, I go on expensive holidays. Yes, I play rugby. But I'm not the kind of guy they can take out for a meal on a Monday or Tuesday. You know, I'll be in the gym. So they get that from the offset.
Burnsy, although seeming to have a wonderful experience out there, we all get down from time to time. So how does a man who didn't go to boarding school and hence have no prior experience of dealing with being homesick sort of deal with the times when you feel low and miss, you know, blighty? And I was wondering, Archie, seeing as you started boarding school at 7, if you could give Freddie some insight into what you used to do when you were homesick to get over the blues.
It's fucking difficult. Like, it is. It's hard. Obviously, it's a completely different brand of rugby over here. It's a completely different culture and lifestyle. Like, it's, you know, you can't just get like have conversations at the shop. That, so it is, mate. It's very difficult, and it's taken a little bit of time to sort of get used to it. And especially, as you know, Archie, being in a position like Fly Half,
yeah,
and having the serious chat that we have. When you go into the changing room, you just want to have a bit of banter with the boys.
Sure.
And as much as there's a group of maybe, you know, 6, 7, 8 lads that speak English, like foreigners and stuff like that, we can have a bit. In my little changing space, I'm surrounded by the Japanese boys. So I sort of come in the morning and I say hello, and then that's it. Like, they're all there sort of chatting, and you just sort of sit there smiling and nodding. So it's difficult. Like, of course you have your times, and, you know, you see the Premiership starting back up and you watch it and you think, fuck, I can still be there. But this is the challenge that I took on, and now I'm settling in. I'm starting to really bed in and enjoy the challenge. And, you know, it's a lot different to England, and I just have to accept that and make the most of it.
Burnsy, I mean, firstly, you know, one thing I would say is I actually played rugby at school with a guy called Takeshi, who was from Japan. And
yeah,
fantastic, number 8. Didn't speak a word of English, but his dad was very wealthy and came over here for the last 2 years. Hadn't picked a rugby ball up, but he was devastating off a number 8 background. And what I found for communication with him, because we had a move where he would run the ball, dummy the scrum half and give it to me, and then, you know, I'd do the rest as such. I found watching a lot of Laurel and Hardy quite useful, because they do like their physical comedy out there. So when you are surrounded by the Japanese guys, maybe, you know, trip up on a banana skin, do something like that. That kind of
okay,
banter
comedy
might go down well. Note that down.
Yeah,
but
noted.
But mate, you know, look, I was boarding since 7, and, you know, my dad, Alistair, was all about tough love. You know, for the first 4 years, he didn't call me at all. And that was to toughen me up. And what I found in those moments is crying does actually help. And just a lot of crying. You know, you do sometimes have, you know, I had moments where I cried and then I'd say stop because I, you know, didn't think it was manly enough. You know, I didn't think I was being manly. But just going through that barrier really does give you a good perspective. And I spent the first 4 years of my boarding school just crying a lot, but that really helped. I also found having a lot of credit on my phone card at boarding school was also quite good if I needed to, you know, contact the outside world.
So credit, yeah, sweet. I'm right for credit. So basically, I just need to cry and sort of slapstick humour.
Yeah, and
is the word there.
Yeah, slapstick humour and you know, maybe some good gifs. You know, gifs on your phone to show them, or, you know, photo, you know, little, you know, photo, funny photos. You know, you can be that guy that sort of doesn't speak the language of Japanese, but does speak the word of comedy and slash banter.
Mate, I've noted all them down, and like I said, I'm enjoying it, but it's very different, mate. The rugby, you'd love it over here, Archie. It's just attack, attack, attack.
Burnsy, I saw the other day, you threw an absolute champagne pass out. I think it was a mega triple miss pass out to the wing. It's enjoyable. I actually saved the video on my phone, and I sometimes watch it as inspiration. As you know, we can't play rugby out here at the moment. The semi-pro game is on hold, so all I've got is to, you know, watch some of my heroes at 10, such as yourself, and then Andy Goode.
Of course, mate. Of course, we've all learned from Goody, eh?
Yeah.
Burnsy, after the dread lockdown was over, as you were just saying, you eventually went to meet your teammates at the shuttles. How nervous were you?
My first day was a Friday, and on the WhatsApp, well, over here it's called Line, but on the WhatsApp group, they were saying, oh, it's Halloween, it's fancy dress. And I obviously messaged the translator, and I was like, mate, I'm in lockdown, like I can't get out to get fancy dress. So I've actually rocked up on the first day into the change room, and the boys have got me some kind of like sumo hairdo, like long black hair, red lipstick, and some sort of like dress type thing, like Japanese kind of dress thing. It's on my Instagram, I can't. And my first time, so I'm meeting all these boys, these Japanese boys, and I'm meant to be sort of, you know, one of the bigger sign-ins and all this sort of stuff, one of the cat players and all this kind of thing. And fucking, I'm meeting them all with red lipstick on, mate. So the barriers were down straight away. And we did like a pretty decent like weight session. It was a bit of a competition between the sort of inter-squad teams. And then, so that was it really. Me doing weights dressed as some kind of like sumo / geisha. I don't really know what I was, but it was definitely an interesting first day. But I wouldn't say I was particularly nervous. I was just sort of raring to go and get in there. And you know, it's funny, mate, because you go in and half the team still half the team work for the company. So I'll go in, I'm about 5-minute drive to training. I'll go in, I'll train tomorrow. So tomorrow, for instance, I'll do weights 8 till 9, then pro skills. So the professional boys, there's about 12 of us, will go outside and do some skills for about half an hour. And then I go home, and then I come back at 3:45 when the company boys finish work, and we all meet in the dojo for a team meeting, and then we go out and train, mate. So it's, it's bonkers.
When the rugby season starts, I'll definitely organise a fancy dress night for the rugby boys at Inferno's. That just takes me back to some great times. But the setup there, Burnsy, it would suit me down to a T, because it would allow me to do two things I'm really passionate about, you know, play rugby, but also do business. So I'm gonna have a look. I'm gonna talk to my agent and maybe sort of come out there. I know you're the big player out there. I'm happy to sort of you to play 10, and maybe I can slot in at 12 and probably add value on the pitch, but also in the boardroom.
We'll bring it on the pitch, and we'll get some deals done off the pitch. It'll be a match made in heaven, mate.
And let the boys know I've got some fantastic sort of physical humour, banter.
Yeah, well, Archie, I need some advice actually, mate, because the first, like, over here, that obviously you get in the showers and that afterwards, and they have an onsen, which is like a big bath, boiling hot. And the boys love being naked over here, is another thing as well. But I got into the onsen. I've never seen bush like it, boys. Like, the foliage that these, some of them, they can have King Kong in their pants, mate, and you wouldn't know there's that much bush. Like, it's quite breathtaking, for want of a better word, but it is. And I've kind of pointed at them and sort of chuckled and said, "Oh, bush," but they don't really get it. So I think
have you started growing yours out? Have you started growing yours out to be sort of, you know, part of the team?
Absolutely not. I've done the opposite to try and get them. Like, I got one of them to do a little bit, have a little bit of a trim up, but I don't know whether to line them up, like, you know, like my old man did with my brothers when we were younger, and just whip it off myself.
That could be a business idea, Burnsy. Maybe we could go in together, you know, because obviously the podcast is sponsored by Manscaped. I could come out there, we could set up a barbershop for the bush. Where we get them in the seat, we sort of give them in terms, we'll get someone to give them a massage and then shave off the bush. Very much like when you go to, you know, Tony and Guy, you go and get your head massaged, and then they cut your lid.
We could tie in a bit of charity and send the hair to like balding men. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, get guys like Goody's hair transplant.
Exactly. We could sack off Suns as a sponsor, and we could sponsor our own self. It could be called Burnsy Banter and the Bush.
Well, yeah, exactly. Anything, mate. You know, we've got to recycle this bush. It'll be a shame to let it all go to waste, because there is so much there. So, you know, it'd be wrong not to stick it on someone's head, really.
Burnsy, apart from your first day where you dressed up in costumes, making a fool of yourself, was there a sort of a classic initiation, you know, drinking with the boys? Like, was there one big bonding trip to get you all together to kick off the season?
So actually, a couple of weekends ago, we had, so on the Friday night, there was a team social at the company bar, which was just the lads. So it was on a Friday night. We went in at 3:45, as we normally do, for a meeting. On the Friday, and the head coach turned and I said, boys, no training today, get yourselves home, get changed and enjoy the social tonight. So we had to sort of stand up and introduce ourselves a little bit. And bear in mind, you go there, and like, you go to this social, and it's not, you know, you're used to having, you know, I don't know, chips and whatever, or, you know, some finger food. Went there, it's a full on, you know, prawn tempura's coming out, a bit of sashimi's coming out, you know, the beers are flowing. And over here, if you're the older guy, you don't pour your own drink. Like, people have to pour drinks for you. So you've just got young Japanese lads just topping up your drink, which was a delight. And then me and the foreign boys, I choreographed Backstreet Boys, I Want It That Way, in a pair of white briefs. So that was kind of the initiation. I think it went down well, I think, but I don't know if they know the Backstreet Boys or not. Got the boys on side anyway. And then, yeah, we just ended up steaming. I went into Nagoya with the translator. And got home at about 6:30 in the morning.
And now some words from our commercial partner, AC Limited. Investing your money in the future so you don't have to worry.
It's time for you to go to sleep now. So lay down on your bed, close your eyes, and relax. I introduce to you our new sleeping app via AC Limited. Bedtime Stories with Owen Farrell.
Hello, Owen here. It's normally Manu, he's definitely the best. I think Elliot probably comes. Elliot's probably the best at the minute. Sometimes it's a lot of responsibility. The gym playlist, so I wouldn't say I'd like it all the time, but every now and again, maybe. Only golf, I think. Travelling around the world, chasing the sun. My idols have been rugby league players growing back up, so people like Andrew Johns and Darren Lockyer, I used to look up to a lot. Yeah, it'd be them. I'd say I'd try and accept them.
Bedtimes with Owen Farrell coming soon.
What's the clubbing like out there? What's it? Any good? Any sort of Infernos-esque, sort of embargoes-esque places?
I'll tell you what happens over here. Well, this is my one experience of going out. So I went out and ended up going to this club, and it's right over here. Like, it was decent enough, not great. And then we sort of left and we're looking for a bar. And then the translator's like, oh, let's go to this bar. And you go to a bar and there's probably, you know, 15 attractive women. It's one of those bars where they try and fleece you for like, so an attractive girl comes to sit next to you. It's like, oh, they obviously work at the place. They're like, oh, let me buy you a drink. And then they charge you a fortune for it. And I was like, no, I'm not having this. Anyway, the translator in the corner, who I won't name him, but he was absolutely hammered, just kept ordering bottles of Moe, right? Which, you know, is, let's not kid ourselves, it's not top branch champagne.
It's not.
It's also a complete, no, and it's also a complete waste on a night in Nagoya when the girls are literally only chatting to you because you're spending X amount on that money. Anyway, the bill comes at the end, and I ended up having to spend a fortune for one glass of champagne because he bought bottles and bottles for these girls. So that was my experience. But so over here, it's very weird, mate. It's the old, they like to sting the old foreigners, so you've got to keep your wits about you.
Is that a nightclub? It sounds more like a strip club.
Well, no, but this is it. They're not. This is it. It's not strippers and that. They literally just get foreigners in, and then they just buy the drinks, and the girls just charge a fortune. Like, and then there's no, I'd say upside. You know, I don't know how to say this without getting myself in trouble, but there's no upside to it.
Well, yeah, I mean, Burnsy, it just sounds, well, by the sounds of it, it sounds like a place that I could be in for some trouble. Because obviously, you know, I walk into a bar, I look wealthy. I'd probably have to take my Rolex off. I would probably have to hide the fact I'm in good shape. They'd just know looking at me with, you know, the lid, the rig, you know, the kit, that, you know, I'd have some cash. I'd have to be quite wary in there because, you know, if I got loose, then I'd be getting out the bolly. I mean, luckily, I'm not like the translator. I can afford it.
Mate, it was an eventful night. And then it's a 40-minute taxi home. So that was fun, licking the window all the way home.
Burnsy, your brother Billy recently made his debut for Ireland. I know you got up at 3 a.m. for each game to support him through. I also didn't know that your other brother, Sam, is a Cyprus international for rugby. How did that come about?
He is, mate.
And have you had some trips over to see him and get unbearably loose in the sun?
He was in the RAF, so he was based in Akatiri. And then he lived just outside. So he ended up somehow playing for Cyprus. And yeah, I went over once. It must have been about, I reckon it was about 20, 21. I just had a few games for Gloucester and went over for Akatiri Tens, mate, which is a rugby tournament over there. And I actually met a very good friend of mine called Richard Small, who's a bit of a legend, but I met him with his Marine. He was out there with his Marine Corps and like their team or whatever it was. And we got out there, sort of befriended these Marines, which was terrible because they made me do a funnel. And I did this
mate,
funnel.
I love a funnel. I love a bum funnel.
I know it wasn't quite a bum funnel, but it was a normal funnel.
Okay.
But as I got to the bottom, they poured Tabasco sauce in the top. So
great trick.
I swear this Tabasco sauce threw up everywhere in this bar, like all over the floor. And then the Marine boys, they have this call called Hoover. So Richard Small, the captain of the team, called Hoover, and every single one of them dropped to their hands and knees and sucked up the sick like a Hoover
that,
from the floor.
That
of this
is
disgusting, but I've never seen anything quite like it, boys.
Mate, that is phenomenal banter, and that is why I love the game of rugby, for that kind of C.H.A.T. chat.
That is incredible.
We've got to get the Hoover on the podcast. Surely we can get that on a video and put it on our YouTube channel. They'll get hit.
Mate, I'll see if he's got anything, mate. But fuck me, I've never seen anything like it. I thought, Jesus, I'm out of my depth here. And then actually the night continued into this one bar where we went. My brother Sam said, look, this bar is loose. You can do what you want. Like, it will never get closed down. So then I decided to climb on the table and jump and start headbutting the diving header for the disco ball in the middle.
Yeah.
And then a few guys followed me. Next thing you know, the lights come on. Everyone's booted out. So technically I got the Aki arms closed down.
Jesus Christ, that's an achievement.
The one time it got closed down was me, mate. So that's my claim to fame.
Get that on your CV, Burnsy, ASAP. That's like I'd look at
Instagram
and I'd be like, this guy stands out. I'm employing him.
Burnsy, Christmas time is nearly upon us, and I saw your lovely mother sent you out a stunning Christmas package full of goodies and presents galore. What's the plan for Christmas Day this year for you? Will you be doing an Archie Curzon and spending it alone, or what's the plan?
I don't know if I'm spending it alone, Freddie.
You
I
are,
don't
mate.
Know. No,
you
I
are.
Don't know. No, because if we get Christmas number one, I think Alistair's going to let me come.
No, he said. Well, he hasn't been getting back to you. He's not interested at all.
I don't want to talk
if
about
If we
it.
Get Christmas number one, boys, there's parties out here in Japan, I'll tell you that now. You get out here, we'll fucking tear it. We'll meet up in Tokyo, mate. We'll tear it to the ground.
Burnsy, what are you doing for Christmas? Because we can Zoom if you want. We should have a Zoom, like a Christmas Day Zoom.
Mate, I'd love a Zoom on Christmas Day, mate. It would make my day, because actually I have a full day of training on Christmas Day.
Mate, that is my dream. That's my dream.
Yeah. Over here, they don't celebrate Christmas, mate. So it's a full day. And then a game on Boxing Day. So,
but Burnsy, you and the Aussie boys, the Kiwi lads, not going to sit down and have a little sort of Japanese roast?
No, I'll probably get the boys together, but we'll see. I don't really know what we got a game the next day, and I don't really know how it's going to work.
Burnsy, distance can make the heart grow fonder, as can Japanese whiskey. Have there been any sort of big nights? I've seen you've been enjoying the whiskies out there when you got back in the early hours of the morning and then accidentally sort of made contact with some old flames back in the UK?
Mate, it is hard, man. Like, I'll be honest with you, obviously recently single just before coming out here, and it does make it tough. I'd be lying if I said I didn't have many a moment where I'm thinking of, you know, what could have been and all that sort of stuff. But no, I've been told to cease communication there. So that's it. Yeah, no, I talk to people back at home. It's quite nice here because of the time difference. It's the evening by the time so when I get home from training, I sort of touch base with the family and a few people and that, and then I can sort of get myself off to sleep. But yeah, no, nothing yet, mate.
Burnsy, you just got to remember, you know, look, if you're ever having tough times, maybe I'll send you out a voice note, but what you're doing is quite astonishing, and you'll look back on years to come and think, I'm fucking glad I did that. You know, when I did, you know, my gap year in Canary Wharf, I was extremely scared. But, you know, I did that year and it made me the man I am. So you just got to keep going. You got to live. You're living life, mate. That's what you got to do. And I'm telling you what, you'll come out of it 100% a better person. And maybe, you know, we would be multimillionaires with our Bush business.
I think the Bush business is going to be a big winner for us, mate. But no, yeah, you're right, mate. Like I said, I'm really enjoying it. It's the challenge that I needed. You know, the Premiership, 11 years in the Premiership, whatever it was time to change. So it's just adapting. I'm really enjoying it. But like I say, I think it's important for the listeners out there as well to know that it's not always sunshines and rainbows, is it? It's always quite hard and quite difficult. So, you know, I'm doing all right. Hopefully the COVID vaccine comes and I can get visits from the likes of yours truly. And
Burnsy, I'll be out there first chance I can. First chance I get out there. Yeah, right. I've got like a lot of business contacts out there. So don't you worry, mate. I'm coming out there. Also, you know, you just got to just remember I'm only an Instagram DM away, mate. If you need some chat, then just let me know. But Burnsy, let's get down to business, mate. You know what's happening this season on the podcast. AC Limited, the Rig Biz podcast, aka Rig Aid, is bringing out a Christmas single. It's Christmas time. It's time to lash.
Mate, I am so excited about it, mate. I can't wait. What's the release date of it?
So
when's
Burnsy,
it going to be released?
Burnsy, it's out for pre-release now, and we desperately need people to go and download it, because obviously we need to get that push in the charts. It gets released on the 18th, but the more pre-downloads we get, the more we're going to cause a stir. But on a serious note, and, you know, look, this is like a podcast interview, but also a business meeting. Burnsy, you know, Restart Rugby, it's on its knees. Spoken to Ed Jackson, spoken to Hask. It's not going to survive. It's an important charity, right?
Oh, of course, mate. I think it's one of those charities that it works a lot in silence. Like, you don't really see, you know, obviously there's examples of what they do with Ed Jackson and stuff like that. But, you know, however many players a year retire from rugby, and they're the charity that help you don't have to go through a traumatic accident like Ed Jackson to receive the help. Like, it helps people it helps players that just haven't got a contract or are looking to, you know, as it says, like, restart their life away from rugby. So, you know, it's valuable, mate. And in this, you know, day and age of mental health struggles and stuff like that, it's important that charities like that are there to help boys and sort of nurture them through the next step, because it's pretty daunting, mate. Like, it was daunting enough coming out here for me. And I'm walking into a contract that's paying me money and stuff. Those boys that are walking out of rugby and into the wide world, mate, it's a daunting experience, and they're a great charity. So anything we could do to help, mate, and I think this is a great initiative from you guys. I have had a sneak listen to the song, and I think it's brilliant.
It's catchy, right? It's catchy.
It's catchy. It's everything that's brilliant about the pod, mate. Everything that's brilliant about rugby, and hopefully people get behind it and we can get Christmas number one, but most importantly, make a shit ton of money for Restart Rugby.
Listen, I'm all about the money, and that's the most important thing, making a shitload of money, whether I'm doing it for charity or doing it for myself.
Burnsy, you are also the first person to ever sort of call out the Putney boys for being a bunch of, you know, sort of annoying wankers, as it were, the hockey lads. And so
God,
this time,
them.
You know, as you're so far away, is there a message you want us to pass on to anyone back in the UK? Perhaps Stuart Hooper.
No, I wish Stuart Hooper a Merry Christmas, mate. that kind of thing, to be honest with you, is long gone now. Like, this, I almost want to thank Stuart Hooper and Bath in a way, mate, because without them treating me like a bag of shit, I would never have sort of woken up and sort of taken this opportunity I've got. So, mate, no, nothing but love for everyone, mate. It's good to see the Premiership back in and boys playing rugby and crowds being back in and stuff like that. But I need to tell you this story, because we talk about, you know, girls and you know, being out here in Japan and that. I was actually, this is completely off subject, but I was actually in Kyoto. Went there, visited, went on my own, went and seen like this bamboo forest, all that. Anyway, I went out for a few drinks in the evening. And I'm walking along and I see this sort of cocktail bar door. And I think, right, this is where I'm going to go for a drink.
Yes, please.
Open the door. And as I go to walk up the steps, I see, you know, a pair of nice heels coming down the steps, you know, jeans and heels. Like, very, you know, just, I couldn't tell much, but you could tell it was a woman coming down.
Yeah.
So I back down a couple of steps and held the door open. And this very attractive blonde woman that just goes, oh, you know, thank you very much. Like an English accent. And of course, my eyes lit up and I'm like, wow, I'm in Kyoto on my own. There's a, you know, an attractive woman's come down. So I said, oh, there's an English accent that I've not heard. Like, she was South African, but not me. I was like, oh, there's someone speaking English, like, I've not heard.
Sure, good.
Anyway,
line.
2 seconds later, I look back. The man following her down the stairs was Vili LaRue. And it was his missus. So I had to So I literally, oh, Billy, how are you, mate? Nice to see you. Like, all that sort of stuff, mate. I've never been. You know when you just have one of those moments? Fucking, I could have died, mate. But
that is brilliant.
It's a bit of a random story, but I had to share it.
Mate, that is fucking great. Mate, you've been an incredible guest, Burnsie, as always, Burnsie.
We massively appreciate it.
We wish you the best.
Yeah. Thanks,
mate, Burnsie. Thank you so much, mate. Well, it looks like you've got a whole new business empire in Asia, mate. I mean...
Mate, what a great performance. You know, he's coming off the pitch. I'm putting my arm around him. I'm ruffling his hair and saying, Burnsie, you did it once again. That is a fantastic performance.
He's just
I'm
got great stories. I mean... That Billy LaRue one, Jesus Christ, he must have been terrified. Yeah, he thought he was in with a, you know, 10 out of 10 blonde, and then suddenly Billy LaRue's coming
instead. He's a top boy, and, you know, if I could get a flight out to Japan for Christmas, I would go and do it.
I know you were too embarrassed to admit it in front of him, but you are spending Christmas by yourself.
No, I'm not, mate, I'm not.
So
you don't know yet, I'm waiting to hear back from Alistair.
Okay, but what happens if he says no?
He's my dad. He's not going to say no to 2 years in a row. I don't know if you realise, Freddie, it's been a pandemic. He's been bloody busy. So have I. It's hard to, you know, get our diaries together. But I'm hoping 25th of December, which is Christmas Day, he won't have much on. And I, at the moment, I don't have anything. And that's why I wrote to him an email. I said, listen, the diary is building up, but, you know, nothing in the diary for 25th. So let me know. So I'm hoping, you know, fingers crossed, touch wood, we get it. And if I get a Christmas number one, I know he'll want to see me.
So, Archie, of course, the business section is brought to us by the incredible guys from Sons, Care for Sons on Instagram.
Good guys.
They are going to bring back your lid. So if you're a bit worried this Christmas to go see old family because, oh, my God, you haven't seen your auntie or your uncle in a while, and since then your sort of hair's been protruding and you've lost everything, you've still got time. Go to the Sons website, get a one-month or a three-month package, and get £20 off that package with the code RIGBIZ20. This is the best in men's hair treatments. It's non-invasive. And it works in 9 out of 10. That's 90% success rate, Arch. That ain't bad.
That's strong. Yeah. You know, my success rate in Infernos is 88%. So it's better than that. And a lot of people say my success rate in Infernos is one of the best. But, you know, I keep saying this. If you go and buy the product now, you know, by Q1, you'll have a great lead. And that, in turn, will give you a lot more productivity in the business world.
I completely agree with you. Guys, don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed because there's a way out. This isn't like your forefathers.
Well, do be a bit embarrassed if you're losing your hair and you haven't done anything about it because Sons can help you. Because there's a guy in my office who I shouldn't really say, Ben Fisher, who absolutely hates the fact that every day I send him a message on Zoom saying, hey, egghead, when are you going to sort your lid out?
That's mean. That's bullying, mate.
To be fair, he actually doesn't like it, and I've had a complaint from HR.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
But now he might listen to this, he'll realise it is just Ben Panter.
Well, if you are listening, Mr. Fisher, you can sort out that lid. It's never too late. You're not like your forefathers who had to just put up and deal with it. You can go onto the Sun's website, get a quick consultation with a registered doctor. He'll give you the best products in a one-month or three-month package. And guess what? We're going to give you £20 off that. So all you have to do is go on the Sun's website and put in the code RIGBIZ20.
Fred, just realise we have a lot of codes RIGBIZ20. Do you think it would work in other places? Like, could I go into number 32 and like order, you know, a gin and tonic, and then just say hashtag RIGBIZ20, and that would take 20% off the drink?
Well, because they're fans of the show, it may actually work. But
try it.
You may
not
get it for free.
I might try it. I'm there this week, so I might try. I'll let the listeners know next week.
Well, talking about your friend Mr. Fisher, it seems to be fishing which is holding up this Brexit deal from going through. If you were sat, I mean, I remember when it was the elections and you did a sort of a passionate plea for, you know, what should happen, get Boris, get the Tories a big majority. And that did actually end up coming to fruition. And also, you foresaw the last deal coming through when no one else thought it would. So what do you think is going to happen with this one? And what would you do to make it?
Great question, Freddie. And I've got to say, you know, business section is my favourite part of this podcast. That's, you know, really where I come into my own. And, you know, if I wasn't too busy going to get a Christmas number one, this is probably where I would be. I'd be at the negotiations. I'm imagining they would get me in because, you know, I'd just cut the bullshit, guys. I'd be there in Brussels. I'd be suited and booted. And I'd just be like, listen, guys, I think we're all a bit fed up with all this shit pitter-patter, right? Can we just get to what we all want and get the fuck out of here and go and have Christmas? And that kind of attitude is what they need right now. They need someone like me who has got strong business acumen to go and sort this out.
Have you been asked by anyone?
Not yet. But, you know, never know. When we get to Christmas number one and they see what I've just done, they will be like, well, this guy obviously knows what's going on. Let's get him in.
So do you think it's going to go through? Do you think we'll get the deal?
Mate, I have no idea. If I'm being honest, I haven't really been keeping up with it.
Well, Archie, I'm incredibly confident that we're going to bring back a Christmas number one for all the listeners, and they're the ones who are actually going to make it happen, because we've done all we can. We now need them to put their hands in their pockets, fingers on the clicks, and buy this track.
Freddie, it's a team effort, okay? Yep. And we've got a strong team behind us. There are many people that listen to this unbelievably good banter every week, and they're pretty wealthy. You know, general consensus, I can tell by the data, most people who listen to this podcast are on six-figure salaries or are heading that way.
Well, okay.
I think it will happen, and I don't think the UK knows what's going to hit them when we take number one.
Well, maybe
I should write a book.
Maybe
I should write a bloody book.
Maybe we should.
I might write a book, Freddie. Okay, guys, here it is. Listen, buy the single, but also bear in mind I am bringing a book out next year.
So it saves the money.
So yeah, don't spend too much on this, because there will be a book, and that will probably give you more, actually, thinking about it.
Right, okay.
I mean, song's a song, but this book...
But we spent the last 3 months working on this, mate.
Can you not be a bit more passionate? Yeah, yeah, sorry. No, I am passionate. Guys, please get involved in this.
Well, you saw that we released some behind-the-scenes footage, which is on Archie's Instagram and also on YouTube. And also, we brought out today a wonderful, I must say, little teaser for the song. It's Christmas time. It's time to lash. Maybe I'll put a bit in the outro now. Just a tiny bit.
Yeah, just do. I think you whet everyone's appetite. I've got to do a big shout-out, Fred, this week. Cut the Bull agency, the PR firm that's working with us.
Yeah,
they're doing a phenomenal job.
We're in national papers.
Yeah, I would give them... I've got a little critique. I haven't been in national papers. A lot of other people have who are involved in this, but I haven't. And I do think they're missing a trick, because... Yeah, I will.
They want to go with a big talent, though. You're a nobody.
44,000 followers on Instagram. I am talent.
Oh, right, okay. But I mean, you're nothing in comparison to the millions who are following Haas.
It's like Jim Hamilton said, I should have got a blue tick. But yeah, no, Cut the Bull, definitely look them up. They're good boys. They enjoy the lash. I've actually been out with them this week having a few beers.
Really?
And yeah.
You didn't tell me about that.
No, I didn't. No.
All right, okay. And what are your plans for the rest of the week? I mean, obviously, it's Thursday now. Are we looking forward to the weekend, or...?
Yeah, looking forward to some mega lash, heading out with the boys on Saturday, the Clapham Falcons, for a Christmas party, which I'll give everyone a few stories next week. Obviously, there are only six of us.
Yeah.
Wink, wink. No. If the police are listening, there are only six.
Well, there probably are only six. You don't have that many friends.
No. Clapham Falcons, there's like 25 of us.
Oh, right. Okay, sorry.
So
where are you guys heading?
25.
What's the plan?
In Clapham.
Yeah, Clapham. What's the plan?
Mate, we will conquer Clapham. That's what we do every Christmas.
Okay.
But listen, on a serious note, mate, strong pod. I think, again, we've won that match. I think we probably let in a try.
Yeah.
Probably let in a try. They didn't get the conversion, but we got the bonus point.
Okay. Well,
it was a solid performance. I think there are a few things I've come off the pitch thinking I can improve. But like I said at the beginning of the pod, it's that 1% that makes you the athlete you are.
Right, okay. Well, guys,
I'll be back bigger and stronger next week. Do not worry.
If we can ask you to do one thing before we speak to you again next week, then
buy
please.
The book.
No, buy the track.
Oh, buy the track. Buy the track.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely buy. It's Christmas time. It's time to lash. It's in the bio. Get it done, guys. We need you. Rugby needs you. Restart Rugby needs you. Let's fucking do this.
Thank you very much, Archie. The biggest supergroup since Band-Aid.
When I swear, I mean it.
I know you do.
Yeah.
And that's why
I feel like we're in a changing room.
Yeah, we're
in a huddle.
Well, come on, give us something. Give us a bit of a rugby huddle.
Boys and girls, it's the Chief Chat Officer here. I hope you're well. I want you guys to get in close, and I want you to listen very carefully. Yeah, this is our biggest match of the season. Let's all get in tight. 1, 2, 3. Squeeze! That's it. That's it. I can feel your passion. But on the 18th of December, we release It's Christmas Time, It's Time to Lash, a song for the rugby community to have a voice, to raise money for Restart Rugby. It doesn't matter where you are, in the north, in Putney, in Clapham, come together now, because we must come together. Restart Rugby needs us, and we will deliver, because you're with me, the CEO of Clapham. I have never failed at anything. I smashed the Duke of Edinburgh Awards, I smashed the City, I've smashed the semi-pro rugby, and now, with your help, with our help, we will smash the Christmas number one. And more importantly, keep Restart Rugby alive. On three. 1, 2, 3. Squeeze! Let's get out of there, boys!
It's time,
oh my God, that's Jeremy Irvine from Hollywood. It's Jim Hamilton!
song by Lindin Robot is going to go way up in the morning. This is so good. My dad.